Well, that's right. It is the continuation of the Isla Van Show. I told you we were going to have Congressman Jeff Duncan on the line with us here this morning, and I do. Congressman Jeff Duncan, are you in Washington, D.C., or in Lawrence?
Well, I am in Washington in my office right now. I'd rather be sitting in Sharp Facets Gallery in Greenwood, South Carolina. I can tell you that, Ann.
Well, we'd love to have you here. We have some gorgeous weather going on down here in South Carolina. This is the stuff that you just can't buy anywhere. You just have to live the right place.
Yeah, I tell you, it's raining in Washington. It's rained for the last 3 days. We've got a shutdown going on. It's kind of depressing up here, so I'd rather be back in the Palmetto State where y'all are experiencing some beautiful weather.
Well, Jeff, that, of course, brings me to talk about what's going on. Now, your office has been closed. Have you reopened your office yet?
We are operating on a furloughed rotation where we're an essential branch of government trying to work through this negotiations and actually voting and having to look at legislation. So we're having to operate with some essential staff, but we are rotating that around to make the impact as less on my employees as I can. But I've got a great staff, and they're doing a great job, even though they're abbreviated.
Well, I do understand there are. Didn't y'all vote that they would get back pay for the time that they were out?
We have passed a bill to try to include pay for all federal employees that have been furloughed. Look, this shutdown is not their responsibility. They didn't cause it. They're victims of it. And so I think the right thing to do is reward the folks that are working for our government, that this is no cause of their own. And so this isn't like a business that's shutting down because or furloughing employees to save cost and reduce overhead and expenses to try to stay alive. This shutdown is because of political intransigence on both sides.
Sure. So, you know, yesterday I understand we had 20 Republicans meeting with President Obama. Were you included in one of those 20?
I was not. It was basically the elected leadership folks, the Speaker and the Majority Leader and the Whip. And then we have my class, the sophomore class, has an elected leadership position at the table, something we negotiated for last Congress. And that's Steve Sutherland, my buddy from Florida. He and I are very close friends. His birthday was yesterday, so he got a trip down to the White House as part of the leadership team. And we were all asked. President Obama invited every House Republican to come down, all 232 of us. But we said no. We wanted to send a negotiating team. That's our position, that we need to sit down at the table with the other side. We've asked them. We've appointed conferees. The Senate Democrats haven't. We've asked for meetings with the president, meetings with leadership, with Harry Reid, to try to work out something on this, on the shutdown, on the CR, but also on the upcoming debt ceiling fight. So we sent a negotiating team to sit down with the president and the White House staff and try to come to some resolution, and that's what we did.
So what have you heard then from your good friend that was there? What have you heard?
Well, the Republicans went down with an offer. You know, we have, after we passed the first continuing resolution that fully defunded Obamacare, because our position is Obamacare is bad for the nation, and we can talk about that at length at another time, but we have come back to the table and three subsequent bills moving off of that position that go with a one-year delay of Obamacare all the way down to a delay in the individual mandate that we believe all men are created equal and we should treat all Americans equally. We should treat them the way the president has treated big businesses and seven other exemptions or delays in the implementation for. We should treat mom and dad and average Americans the same way. Let's delay this because we are seeing that Obamacare rollout is not ready. We're seeing the glitches in the website. We're seeing the exchanges not set up. And so this thing needs more time. If it's going to be the law of the land, this needs more time. I would rather do away with it and return to free market principles. That's just my position. So we went in there to negotiating, and we said, look, after all this time, and as us offering to go to conference and other things, here's what we'll do. We'll raise the debt ceiling by 4 weeks to 6 weeks. And move that out of the way because we need to have a conversation about debt and spending. But we also understand the government's shut down. And so we'll appoint conferees to a further budget committee conference where we can actually talk about spending and the drivers of our deficits. And also, let's work toward opening the government back up. Unless us sit down, let's agree to sit down and come up with a resolution, hopefully to delay the implementation of the individual mandate. And what we need is the other side to come to the table. You know, for the last 2 years and 10 months, I've heard numerous times, why can't you guys compromise? Well, you know, we're seeing the other side be so obstinate, not willing to come off a position that they think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread with Obamacare, and not willing to admit that it's not ready, admit that it has flaws, and we ought to treat every American the same way and delay this thing for a year.
But I guess out of last night, the things that we heard in the media, Jeff, is that the president was willing to talk. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. And then I understand more people, groups, some of the groups stayed there and worked with staff and whatnot. Has anything come out of it, or are we just going to continue this standoff?
Well, they worked through the night. That was part of the agreement. They had a gentleman's agreement, A, not to talk in the media about their conversations at the table. Their agreement was that, look, we are working together on this, and I'm glad. That's movement in the right direction. Stock market responded favorably. That it looked like they were talking again, and so that's a movement in the right direction. And staff and some of the leaders have been working with the White House, and I don't know where the Senate Democrats are in all this, but definitely the White House and the House Republicans are working together to try to come up with some resolution. So here at 9 o'clock or 9:15 in the morning, I'm not sure at this point whether any headway has been made or what the plan looks like. I'm not privy to that at this point, but I do know that at least we're communicating, and that's healthy.
Well, Jeff, you know, we've seen this before where the House Republicans just gave in, and, you know, we went through all this, I'll call it pain and suffering here, and then at the last minute y'all gave in. Is that what is going to happen this time?
I don't think so. I have seen more resolve out of the leadership in this deal than I've seen since I've been in Congress. I've seen our conference unified around the understanding that there's a lot bigger things at play here. This is a check on the executive branch's exponential growth with Obamacare. That was a fundamental shift of responsibility from the legislative branch to the executive branch. And so this gets down to the core of the Constitution, Ann, in that one branch of government does have a check and balance on the other branch, and we're exercising that check right now, understanding that Obamacare is a tremendous expansion of the power of the executive branch. They're going to be the Health and Human Services Agency and the IPAP board and all that are going to be making health care decisions for Americans. This was a tax and spend bill. It increases taxes. It spends more money. And we think it ought to be reined in. And we are trying to return some of that back to the legislative branch. And so that's sort of a bigger issue at play here. And then you look at the fact that it's not ready. You look at the fact that employers are having to make decisions they don't want to make, cutting hours from a 40-hour work week back to a 29-hour work week, and mom and dads are having to go find a second job just to make up for lost wages. That's real-world happenings. You're seeing folks get their insurance notices. Their insurance companies left the state, as we saw in South Carolina. The second-largest insurer left South Carolina because of this. Or you're seeing the premiums are going up, or folks that are trying to register in the exchange are finding out that their premiums are higher, but they can't be told what their out-of-pocket expense or their deductibles are because the exchange doesn't know how big the insurance pool is going to be. They've got to see how many people sign up before they see how that risk is going to be spread. So there's so much uncertainty. Hey, guys, let's delay this, and let's get rid of this uncertainty, and let's allow businesses to make decisions and moms and dads to make decisions that are best for their family.
Absolutely. Now, you know, a big part of the discussion up there was that Congress and the Senate should have the same health care, and President Obama should have that same health care. It looks to me like that has kind of dropped out of the discussion.
Well, let's be clear on something. The United States Congress does fall under the exchanges. I have to go and find, under the federal exchange, find a health care plan. And during our enrollment period, which is from about mid-November to early December, I've got to get out on the exchange and find a health care plan that meets the needs of me and my family. Congress does fall under Obamacare. The only ones in this conversation that we're having that don't is the president and his wife. The Obamas don't have to comply with Obamacare. And that's wrong. The White House doesn't have to comply. But House members of Congress, House and Senate members, do. And so the only difference is the president basically said back in late July in the Office of Management and Budget Personnel came up with a ruling that said we're going to exempt Congress from the provision of the law that prohibits employers from providing a subsidy or financial assistance for their employees that purchase insurance out on the exchange. Well, since I've got to go purchase insurance out on the exchange, now, due to President Obama and the Office of Personnel Management, they've exempted the employer, the federal government, they've exempted them from the provision of law that prohibits employers from providing a subsidy. So now my employer, the federal government, can help me, as a member of Congress, purchase my insurance with a financial assistance. And that's in direct violation of the Obamacare law of what employers could or could not do to help their employees. But let's be clear, I've got to buy it under the exchange, but the president doesn't.
Okay. Now, what about, what do you think, realistically, do you think that, do you support the GOP proposal that was put out yesterday to do a short term and continue talking? Basically, I think that's what that's about.
Well, I'm going to hold my commitment to support that or not support that until I see what the final deal looks like, and I reserve that right to do that. But, look, I don't want the nation to default on its debt. There's a whole philosophical and educational argument going on right now whether the U.S. could default based on our tax revenues that are coming in every day, the money that's available to pay our bills, the amount of interest that actually is going to be due when those bonds do roll over at the end of the month, and the timing of our payables. But at the end of the day, no one wants the United States to even be perceived as maybe defaulting. And so we're working to try to make sure that doesn't happen. And picture, as we raise the debt ceiling, which I think the debt ceiling will be raised for either a short period or a longer period, and ultimately I think it'll be raised for a longer period, with or without my vote, I think we need to have a conversation about why we're borrowing money in the first place, and that is this out-of-control spending.
But I thought, I did hear a report yesterday that Moody's has said that we have enough money to pay our debts.
They do. Moody's has already said that. That's one of the credit rating agencies. That gets in the academia discussion about whether the executive branch can pay the bills that need to be paid, the interest. See, there's enough tax revenue coming in every day because you're still sending your taxes in. Employers are still withholding that. They're sending that money to the government. And so there's revenues are available. Now, the executive branch and the Treasury can decide what bills to pay and what bills not to pay. I believe that they're trying to exert political pressure, threatening not to pay the interest on our debt or not to pay our creditors and not to pay Social Security and Medicare and other things, even though the money's there.
Why would they do
Moody,
that?
Moody says they can. Moody says they have the ability to do that. And the educational argument going up here is they should. I think they have an obligation. The Treasury has an obligation to do that first and foremost.
Well, if you ruin your credit rating, the whole world falls apart.
It does. And but let's go back to 2 years ago when we had this debt ceiling debate before. When our credit rating went down by S&P, one of the credit rating agencies, lowered the U.S. credit rating. They told us in March, before that vote happened in August, they told us in March that if you didn't do something about what's causing you to borrow money, and this is deficit spending and the entitlement programs that is really driving the train, if you don't do something about your long-term spending addiction and make substantial changes and reforms to what's necessitating you borrowing money, we're going to downgrade your credit. That's exactly what they did after the last debt ceiling bill passed, known as the Budget Control Act, because we did not do enough to address the drivers of our deficits. We did not do enough to address the long-term solvency of this nation, a plan to keep us from having to borrow money long-term. That's why they downgraded. It had nothing to do with the delay in the debt ceiling increase or the battle we fought that summer between conservatives and Democrats over spending and borrowing. It had everything to do with, and you can go back and read it for yourself, and I ask your listeners to do that, but S&P said it had everything to do with the fact that we didn't do enough to address our need to borrow money, and that's deficit spending.
So here we are at this same impasse again.
Except I'm sorry?
This time the government has been shut down. it appears that President Obama is making things, or his staff or his side is making things a lot more difficult. I have a hard time understanding how you can have an immigration rally right there at the same place where the veterans cannot get in. You've got the Million Vet March coming on. I understand we've got truckers going into Washington, D.C. I mean, it looks like the people are starting to rile up about this, Jeff.
And it's been a long time coming. You know, just pushing back against exponential growth of government. I point out all the time, Ann, that government's growing so large that everything to support big government's happening, the apartment buildings, the office buildings for the offices, even the federal buildings, there are construction cranes all over D.C. Tell me the last time you saw a large construction crane that wasn't at a hospital or a university, by the way, along the I-85 corridor between Charlotte and Atlanta, and go to Orlando, go to Nashville. You just don't see them anymore. You don't see the private sector growth, but I tell you what, we see the public sector growth. So people are starting to wake up to this. And the government's been shut down. This is the 11th day. 17% of the government shut down. So 83% of the government is actually open and operating. We're talking about 17% of the government being shut down. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing or bad thing. I'm saying that that is the fact. We have got to address our spending. We've got to address this divide over Obamacare, almost right for the nation, and that's where we are today.
So in the end of the day, you don't really know where you are going to be when it comes to vote to raise the debt ceiling.
Well, historically, I've been a no on raising the debt ceiling, and this goes back to just a philosophical opinion that I have that borrowing is a good thing, that you're slave to your debt, and you go to Proverbs 22:7 and understand that King Solomon was telling us that as well in Proverbs, and this has been a long-term thing. But also want to make sure that we protect the sovereignty of the United States, and that in raising the debt ceiling, I want to see reforms, systemic reforms to what is driving our need to borrow money in the first place. I think that's the bigger issue. And if I see, Ann, that we are making headway, we're actually making the reforms that are necessary, and we have a long-term glide path into balanced budget and actually building surpluses and starting to reverse this trend, I can see a way to vote for that. But I'm a long way from that at this point in time, because I don't see with this divided government that we're actually going to make the strides that are going to give me the ability to vote to raise the debt ceiling.
Now, Jeff, are you is Congress staying up there this weekend, or what is the plan?
Well, okay, going forward, we've got a plan from the House Republicans that were presented to the White House yesterday, and they're trying to negotiate. We've got the House leadership and members of the House working with the White House. I don't know where the United States Senate and Harry Reid is on this. He said no negotiating. He and the President both have said it's either our way or no way. That is how obstinate they've been in this. When we've offered opportunities to negotiate over and over and over, we're actually passing small micro bills over to the Senate that actually open up the most critical functions of government, like paying our veterans and cancer research for children and the FAA to make sure our planes are in the skies are safe, military pay. The president signed that. He signed the veterans benefits. He made sure that the back pay is going there and that families of fallen soldiers are getting their money. He signed that. So we're making headway there. And we're going to continue to show that we believe opening the government is the right thing to do. But we also stand firm on the principles that Obamacare is shutting down America, and we need to stop that. We need to delay that and do whatever we can, because it's not ready.
But what is supposed to happen this weekend? I mean, are you coming home? Are you staying there? What's supposed to be happening?
Well, we've been advised just to remain flexible and fluid there. We're voting tomorrow, Saturday sometime, and if we don't have votes on Sunday or not till late Monday, I may try to come home and see my family, but we'll just have to see. I'm committed to stay as long as I'm needed up here as part of the negotiations or a vote needed. This is what we're here for. This is important. This is a pivotal time in the future of America for my children and our grandchildren. And so, you know, coming home is a luxury that if I can do it, great. If I can't, I understand, and my family understands, and we'll keep working.
Sure. Well, Congressman Jeff Duncan, always a pleasure to have you on the I Love Ann Show. And is there anything else you'd like to tell us before I let you go?
Well, Ann, I just appreciate you so much that you've got a radio show. You've given me an opportunity to have a voice and kind of explain to the people there in the Greenwood listening area what's going on here in Washington. And I ask folks just to join me on Facebook. We have a dialogue going on where we're giving you an update of what the shutdown looks like and the negotiating process up here. Sometimes it's in real time. If nothing else, it's three or four times a day. We're updating you on what's going on here in Washington. So you can go to my Facebook page. You can go to my Twitter. If you have trouble, just go to jeffduncan.com. There are links there, and you can find out how to get involved in that. So we're trying to get the message out, and getting on radio shows like yours is a great opportunity. So I'm very, very thankful, Ann. I love Ann. I love the I Love Ann show, and I wish I was sitting in Sharp Passage there in Greenwood and I could talk to you face-to-face, but we'll do that soon.
I look forward to that, Jeff Duncan. By the way, I want to say, great picture of you many years ago, the love of your life, Melody, put that up on Facebook. Yes, it's interactive on Facebook.
Well, you can see a lot of pictures on there, me in my Clemson uniform and me as a 17-year-old high school athlete and other things. So, you know, we try to make it real. We try to let folks know and live vicariously of what's going on. I put pictures of me and, you know, facing John Kerry in committee or Hillary Clinton or others, my view from my seat, so people can actually try to get an understanding of what's going on and my perspective on things. And so it's a great tool for us. And so I just encourage people to do that if they want to stay informed, and they can communicate with me. It's a way that I can actually hold a town hall without actually being in the district standing in front of them. And I can do it multiple times during the day, answer questions of the constituents about what in the world's going on up here in Washington.
Absolutely. Well, God bless. Keep up the fight. Thanks so much for calling us today, Congressman Jeff Duncan.
Yeah, God bless, Ann. Thanks so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.